Over the last several weeks, we've been talking about the armor of God. And I asked you, what would you think if somebody actually showed up in armor? Would they stand out in our presence? Would we know? Would we be able to tell if they were here? And I asked us, if you went out, do people see you dressed up, suited up, in the armor, ready to do battle? And I know you may be thinking this is kind of silly, and maybe it is silly. But I think a part of the problem is that too many of us think that the whole thing is silly. Too many of us think that the whole need to suit up, the need for armor, the need to do battle in the heavenly realms is silly. I think many of us just don't really believe in that kind of stuff. We've been talking about the last several weeks about the reality of spiritual warfare. Not only the reality of spiritual warfare, but the reality of what it takes to be ready to do battle in the heavenly realms. Children, if you're ready to be dismissed for Children's Church, I'll let you go on now. Thank you. Today's sermon. Today's sermon is over the helmet of salvation. We've talked about several different aspects of the armor. We've talked about the belt of truth and how it doesn't do us any good just to recognize that there is a belt. Doesn't do us any good to have the belt, but it's not until we get inside the belt that truth becomes part of who we are. It's not until we wrap the truth around us and stand within that truth that it takes any effect in our lives. We talked then about the breastplate of righteousness and how we need to be in the righteousness of God. It's not my righteousness. It's nothing I can do, nothing I've earned. God made me right with Him. He gave me right standing with Him by simply putting my faith and my trust in Jesus Christ. We talked about the gospel shoes and how our feet should be shod with the readiness or the preparedness that comes from the gospel of peace. We need to be at peace with God. And that peace makes us ready to do battle. We talked about the shield of faith and how we need to build and anoint our faith. Anoint it through those disciplines we talked about, through prayer, studying of the Word, through telling of our testimony. That increases our faith. It strengthens our faith. That way we can use our faith to extinguish the fiery darts of the enemy. We need to be alert. Remember, we need to be alert and smell the smoke. Today we're going to talk about the helmet of salvation. Our text that we've been studying in is Ephesians chapter 6. If you go ahead and turn there, I think we've got them for the screen, but we're going to read this through again. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10. It says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in its place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Father, we thank you for this day. Father, I'm so looking forward to what you're going to speak to us today. How you're going to encourage us. How you're going to tell us to make certain of our salvation. Father, I thank you for that salvation. I thank you for the one by whom it comes, and that is Jesus Christ. And I ask it in His name. Amen. When we're dressed in armor, we look different. When we're dressed in armor, we feel different. you know what that feels like? Do you know what that looks like? To be in armor, to be ready for battle. And I don't have to tell you that you don't have to go very far before the battle begins. Some of you, the battle is raging right now where you sit. Are you ready for battle? Are you suited up? Do you have the pieces that we've talked about? And again, in this passage, Paul tells us twice, put on the full armor of God, not just bits and pieces. Why does he say put on the full armor of God? Because it takes all of it. It takes all of it. If I just wear the shoes, I'm left vulnerable in other places. If I just have the helmet on, if I just have the breast, I leave myself open for attack in other places. We also talked about how the armor doesn't provide a lot of protection for the backside. We're supposed to be facing the battle, not running from it, not running from the battle. The thing is, you and I can't win the battle because it's already been won. It's already been won. God just tells us to go and fight it because he's already gained the victory. This passage, and specifically when we talk about the helmet of salvation, the helmet of salvation, when you think about a helmet and what it does, the helmet protects what, Bart? The head. We need our head, right? Okay, we need our head. I mean, you can go without an arm. You can go without a leg. You can even go without both or all four. But it's very hard to go on without a head. Okay? This helmet protects our head. What's inside of our head? Our brain, which runs our what? Everything. It's our mind. And I think part of what Paul was telling us here is that the helmet of salvation guards our minds. The helmet of salvation guards our minds. I'm going to unfold that a little bit more as we go. I think that to protect our mind, to protect our thinking, I talked several months ago about we got to get rid of that stinking thinking. The stinking thing and the thinking that stinks, that kind of brings us down, we need to get rid of that. That's the attacks of the devil. That's the attacks because we're not wearing our helmet. And those thoughts have got in there. I'm not worth much. I'm not any good. I can't do this. I'm not my whatever. We got to get rid of that stinking thinking. Put on the helmet of salvation. Remind yourself of the salvation that God has given you and stand in that. Stand in it. Paul says, and when you've done everything to stand, stand. And stand how? Stand firm. Stand firm. I think that in order to protect our mind, we need to remind ourselves of some things. Number one, that we are eternally saved. We are eternally saved. When God, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, he accepts us as sons, and we're sons forever. He says, nothing can snatch you out of my hand. The problem is, some people think they're saved and they've never really given their life to Jesus Christ. They've gone through some motions. They've walked an aisle. They got wet. They did the things. They go to church regularly. But they've never put their faith and their trust in the one that can save them. So first of all, we have to understand and know that we're eternally saved. We have to know that we're perfectly saved. When we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart, Scripture tells me, you shall be saved. That's perfect. That's perfect. We also need to know that we are absolutely saved. We need to put on our salvation. We need to declare our salvation. John chapter 10, verse 29 tells us that Jesus is saying, he says, my Father who has given unto me is greater than all. Than who? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Greater, who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. No one. No one. Not even the old devil himself can snatch you out of the hand of God. The reason that many doubt their salvation, I think, is because they're not protecting their mind. They're not protecting their mind. They're letting the stinking thinking get in there. They're not protecting their mind. They don't have the helmet of salvation on. Here's how we can lose our head, if you'll go with me there. One is stress. We get all stressed out. Does anybody ever get stressed out? Now, don't answer for your spouse. You can only answer for you. Does anybody ever get stressed out about stuff? Okay, we get stressed out. We get stressed out. What brings on stress? Uncertainties. Being unsure about things. Not seeing, not knowing exactly what's coming down the road. We get stressed out about that stuff. Another thing is strain. What are you straining for? What are you straining for? I heard some mention this morning in one of the Sunday school classes. Sometimes we strain after the bigger house. We strain after the car. We strain after the prestigious position. We strain after this. We strain whatever we strain after. Is that what God wants us to strain after? Paul says, I press on toward the goal. I strain toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. That's what we should be straining for. We also lose our head because of frustration. We base success on what the world tells us success is. Right? Anybody ever ask you if you're successful? They have a template in mind to measure your success. When they say, are you successful? Or how successful is he? They have something in their mind that they're already thinking about. And I guarantee you, it's probably not how God measures success. Frustration sets in. The first thing we have to do is to keep our head. We have to protect our mind. The second thing is we have to praise our salvation. We talked about this on Wednesday night. We offered up our entire prayer time was nothing but praises. We're working through a specific format for prayer. And I would encourage you to come on Wednesday night, and we're going to talk about that specifically for the next 3 weeks, talk about a format for prayer, how it kind of helps us, guides us through, and to be very well balanced in our prayers and not heavy just on saying, God, here's my list, fix it, heal it, do it, amen. In Jesus' name. A lot of time, that's what our prayers are sometimes. And we forget that there's other things that God wants to hear praises. So praise him. Praise him for your salvation. Luke 10, verses 18 through 20 says, Jesus was talking, he said, he replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you, listen to this, this is good stuff. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Jesus says, I'm giving you power to do all kinds of great things. But don't revel in that. Praise God because your names are written in heaven. Because you have salvation. That's what you rejoice about. You've been given authority over all the power of the enemy. So go do something. I'm talking to you. You, if you're saved and you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have been given all power over the enemy. So go do something. Praise God for your salvation. Make a difference. That verse 20 that talks about rejoicing that our names are written in heaven. We're to rejoice about it. Have you ever, there's an old gospel song. Some of you may remember it. It says, get all excited. Go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Get all excited. Go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Get all excited. Go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Jesus Christ is still the King of Kings. That's exciting stuff. Get excited. Golly, sometimes I wonder, you know, I was at Shepherd's ball game Friday night, and they weren't really excited a lot of times in there. And the announcer was struggling. He was saying, all right, let's cheer on the defense. And then he was kind of sarcastic a little bit. And he would say, well, fine, y'all just sit there then. And sometimes I wonder if God doesn't say, all right, rejoice, I've given you salvation. Well, y'all just sit there then. Because I think we get more excited at a football game than we do about our salvation. Sometimes I think we get more excited about watching a NASCAR race, watching our son or daughter play t-ball or catching a fish or something. I mean, that's exciting stuff. But ought we not to be more excited about where we spend all eternity? Golly, folks, I think we're missing something. I think we're missing something. And it's a struggle sometimes. I know it's a struggle sometimes. Yes, God, I know my car is broken. I know I'm struggling. I'm trying to figure out where I'm going to get the money to pay the bills. My electricity's about to be shut off. I know I'm broke. I can't find work. At least I'm going to heaven. Woo-hoo! You know, there's always something to be excited about. Always something to be excited about. There's a caveat to that. That means, hold on, wait a minute. That doesn't apply to everybody. You must have salvation. You must have salvation. Number three, I think, is as far as what it takes to really be in the helmet of salvation. We have to dwell on our salvation. We have to think about it. We have to dwell on it, not just think about it here and there. We have to dwell upon our salvation. Think about your day of salvation. Do you remember the day of your salvation? And I'm talking to Christians here. Do you remember your day of salvation? When you gave your life to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, when you said, however you said it, you said, I'm tired of trying to do this on my own. I recognize what the Scripture says, that I'm a sinner, and that I can't come to you unless I come through your Son, Jesus Christ, and I accept that as true in my life today. I come to Him. I ask Him to be Lord and Savior of my life, and I accept the forgiveness that He provides. Do you remember that day for you? I remember my day. I don't remember the date. It was an RA camp. I used to go to, we had these things called RAs. It stood for Royal Ambassadors. And it was a boys group in the church. The girls had GAs, the boys had RAs. And we were at a camp in Paisano, Texas, Paisano Baptist Encampment, way out west. It's way, way out there. But I remember it was a campfire that night, one of the nights there. And the Lord just touched me. He said, now's your time. And I grew up in the church. I mean, Mom and Daddy were in the choir. Dad was a deacon. And I was always at church. I think if they were giving out gold stars for church attendance, I'd have had to have another sheet because I was always there. But that's not what mattered. God told me, He said, you need to accept me for you. You can't ride on your parents' coattails. That night, I got on my knees. I started bawling. I didn't even know why. I went and talked to this rough and tumble dude who volunteered to give up his 3-4-day weekend to be with a bunch of little boys out in the wilderness camp. He took me off out to the side of the fire and led me through a prayer, and I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I remember that day. It was in September of 1978. I don't remember the date. I know that that's when it was. Do you remember your day of salvation? If you can't, maybe it's because you don't have the day of salvation according to the Scriptures. You see, what happens on your day of salvation, you're changed. A transformation process begins on that day. And so I would submit to you today that if you've not been changed, and quite possibly you've not been saved. And if you're not sure, I would love to help you make sure of that today before you leave. Don't walk out of here uncertain about your eternal destination. Here's another deal, though. After I tell you, if you're not sure, if you're sitting here and you have not received this helmet of salvation, if you've not got the covering of Jesus Christ's blood in your life, I'm going to tell you something. You're on dangerous ground. Because after I get through with you, you're going to know. And then it's on your hands. And it's on your hands. I'll do my part. I'm going to do my part. God will do His part. John chapter 6, verse 44 says that He calls us. The Spirit draws us No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I'll raise him up on that last day. I'll do my part. I'll speak it. The Spirit will do his part. He will draw you. Now you must do your part and respond and say, "That I want that. I need that. I can't do without it. I've got to have it. I'm not leaving here until I get it." That's your part. That is your part. You must put your faith into action. You have to trust in the truth. I talked last week, I gave a very simple illustration, and I found out that the youth had used the very same illustration in the youth room. It's very simple, but it's so effective because the simple illustration of a chair. I know that that's a chair, the stool. I'll use the stool. I know that this is a stool, and I believe that it can hold me up. But not until I actually put myself on that stool does the stool do me any good. The same way as with Jesus Christ. You may know that he existed. You may even believe that the scripture is true when it talks about Jesus. But it's not until you actively put your trust in that truth that something happens. You must act. And this is not a salvation by works. Some people would argue, well, that means that you have to do something to be saved. No. What you have to do is recognize that somebody's already done something for you. The work's already been done. You just have to recognize that. Accept that as true in your life. You're not working for anything. You can't. Scripture is very clear that we can't earn our salvation. Jesus Christ has already done it. I'm going to read to you 1 John chapter 5, verse 12. If you have your Bibles, turn there. And if you have a pen or pencil and you like to take notes or mark, mark it. 1 John chapter 5. It's right back there before Revelation. 1 John is right before 2 John. Chapter 5, the first 12 verses. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. This is love for God, to obey his commands. And his commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. There is victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And the three are in agreement. We accept man's testimony, but God's testimony is greater, because it is the testimony of God, which he has given about his Son. Anyone who believes in the Son of God has this testimony in his heart. Anyone who does not believe God has made him out to be a liar, because he has not believed the testimony God has given about his Son. And this is the testimony: God has given us eternal life, and this is the life, and this life is in his Son. Listen to this. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. I don't know how I could put it any simpler or plainer than that. Do you have life? To answer that question, you have to ask, do I have the Son? Scripture says, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. He who has the Son has salvation. He who does not have the Son does not have salvation. That is so plain and simple. We have to dwell on it. We have to meditate on it. We have to let that sink in. Someone once told me, I'll never be famous and I'll never get on TV if I keep preaching a sermon like that. Like I care. Like I care. I got a news flash for you. I don't want to be on TV. But I do want to stand before Jesus Christ one day. And I want to tell him, I spoke truth. I spoke the truth. I don't want you to feel good about yourself. I don't speak to make you feel good about yourself. I want you to feel bad. I want you to feel so bad that you turn to the only person who can do something about it. His name is Jesus. The joy he gives is far better than anything I could ever give you, because he's the only one that can save you for all of eternity. You may think I'm driving this thing into the ground. I'm wearing it out. Put a helmet on. You may be sitting there and thinking, well, that's kind of offensive. That offends me. And you don't have to go very far to hear people say, well, you know, that's kind of self-righteous if you think that that's the only way. Jesus Christ is the only way. Maybe he's a way, but the only way? Who do you think you are? It is offensive. I would rather you be offended now and respond than to be offended when Jesus says, depart from me, I never knew you. There's no recovering from that. There's no recovering from that offense. If you're offended by what I'm telling you, which is the truth of the Word of God, where the Bible says that the only way to salvation is through Jesus Christ, if that offends you, deal with it. Deal with it. Find out why it offends you so. Ask God to show you why it offends you so. Come to him and allow him to remove the offense. He is the offense remover. He removes the offense and gives you direct contact with God our Father. Romans 9:33 tells me that the one who believes in him will never, ever be put to shame. I think I have that one. Romans 8, verse 6 says, those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Scripture have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. And he gives us the salvation so that we can put it on and protect the mind of Christ. Protect the mind of Christ. Your mind. The Bible says you have the mind of Christ. What does it mean to have the mind of Christ? I think to have the mind of Christ means that we think like him. And to think like him is to seek and save the lost and to do the will of the Father. That's what Jesus Christ did. He sought the lost, to save the lost. And he did the will of the Father. And if we have the mind of Christ, that means that's what we do too. We think like Christ. Christ thought, well, I'm going to do the will of the Father. Christ thought, there's somebody that needs to be saved. I need to go talk to that person. That's what having the mind of Christ is. We think like Christ. We do the things that he does. Why are we not about it? What holds us back? What keeps us from doing that? I can think of only two things. Either one, we don't have the helmet on, or we don't have the helmet, period. We're not standing in our salvation, or we don't have our salvation. Either we're not living in our salvation, or we just don't have it. You live out what you think about. Your mind has to be protected. What protects it? Your salvation. Psalm 107, verse 2 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You are redeemed. You know what redeemed is? Redeemed is when you have a coupon. Right? You have a coupon. You take it to the store and you redeem the coupon, right? That means you give this in exchange for something else. You redeem it. There's a discount. There's something involved in it. It's a two-for-one offer, whatever it is. You're redeemed. And that's what you've been done. You've been redeemed. You've been bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. He has redeemed you. He's bought you. Are you thinking about that? Do you rejoice in that? Are you thinking about distractions or declarations? As we get ready to close, I want to talk to you about making some declarations in your life. Say to yourself, I'm going to start by setting my mind on things above, not on the things of this world. I'm going to quit worrying and getting frustrated and getting anxious and troubled by all these things that are going on around me. I'm going to set my mind on things above. Remind yourself that Satan is the father of lies. There is no truth in him. When he speaks, he speaks his native language. And it's lies. He speaks lies. Something. Because he lies. And he tells you, he tries to get those little thoughts in your mind. Oh, you're not good enough. You can't do that. They'll make fun of you. Who do you think you are? They know what you did. They know where you were last night. They know what you did last summer. They know that you've tried that before and failed. He puts all those little lies in there. But if we put the helmet of salvation on, we can protect our mind. Dwell on our salvation. Say to yourself, my God did not give me a spirit of fear. If there's fear, it didn't come from God. Unless you're talking about that holy reverence of God. That's the beginning of all wisdom right there. Bible says, he did not give me a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Because my mind is protected by the helmet of salvation. And I know that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, authorities, powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces in the heavenly realms. But listen, if you begin to lose that spiritual battle, the battle in the mind, it will be made manifest in your flesh. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. But if you're fighting a battle, if you're not fighting the battle, if you've given up and you're waving the white flag, I give up to this. I'm not going to fight it anymore. Me and the devil, we've signed a truce. He's not going to wear me out over it, and I'm not going to fight it. We're just going to give it up, and we're just going to have a peace treaty. There is no peace. There is no peace. But if you lose that battle, it will become manifest in your flesh. You will start doing things. You will start acting ways. Maybe it brings upon an illness or a sickness. And that is real stuff, y'all. It is real stuff. It's real stuff. And if you think it's not, you're believing the lie of the devil. Declare it. Say, hello. My name is child of the one true King. I've been saved. I've been changed. I've been set free. Amazing grace. That's who I am. I'm a child of the one true King. That's good stuff. Declare it. Speak it. Say, I'll put my hope in the living God who is my Savior. Say, I will live by faith, not by sight. And my faith does not rest on man's wisdom, but on the truth of the Word of God. My faith is based on this. I believe this Word. I believe the Word of God to be the Word of God. I believe that this Scripture is given by Him for me, and I accept it as true in my life. Put on the helmet of salvation. Remind yourself of your salvation. Read what God says about your salvation. Don't lose your head. Trust in your salvation. Don't just know it exists. Don't believe it's there. Use it. Put it on. Stand in it. Stand, not only stand in it, stand firm in it. Protect your mind with it. And if you don't have it, I would love to show you how to get it. I would love to show you how to get it. The helmet of salvation, the armor of God, You can't put on the armor of God without putting on the helmet of salvation. He says, put on the full armor of God. Would you bow your heads with me? Just pray with me as I pray this prayer. Father, I pray that your truth has been spoken here today. I pray that you have spoken to our hearts and minds and that we've heard you. Father, I pray that specifically whatever I've said, that I have said, if I have said anything incorrect, that it was changed between my mouth and our ears so that truth is heard, Father. Your truth is life. Your truth says, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. I pray, Father, we would respond to that message. I pray, Father, you would give us the courage to respond to you and to your message. I thank you for salvation. I thank you for the salvation that you have given through Jesus Christ. Father, remind us daily of what you've given us. Remind us daily, Father, for what you've done for us. Father, remind us daily that we must dress ourselves when we wake up. That before we do anything, Father, tell us, teach us, show us how we need the armor of God, all of it, and put it all on, including the helmet of salvation. Father, thank you for that salvation. Thank you for that salvation. And Father, I pray for anyone here in this place right now that is not certain, I mean absolutely 100% certain of their salvation, Father, you would challenge them and they would respond and they would seek out, what must I do? What do I need to know? What do I need to, how do I need to be certain of my salvation? And Father, it's not just about how do I need to be for certain whether I'm going to heaven or hell. Father, it's how do I know for certain that I'm a child of God so that my life right here and right now is radically changed and different. Father, help us to be bold. Give us courage to respond to what your Spirit is speaking to us in this place. I ask all of this in the name, the mighty, mighty name of our Lord and our Savior. The name which God says there is no name given except the name of Jesus by which men must be saved. And it's in that name I pray. Amen. Stand if you would. We're going to sing a simple chorus. If you've been challenged this morning, if you've been moved by the Spirit of God, let me challenge you. Respond to it. Move. Do something. Don't just stand there. If God has called you and He's given you a challenge, respond to it. As we sing, this altar is open. I'll be standing here.